16:20 says, "And he gave the disciples orders to tell no one that he was the Messiah." After Jesus raised Jairus' daughter back to life, he gave all those that were present this warning. Mark 5:43. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened. After being transfigured on the mountain with Moses and Elijah, as he's coming down with his three closest disciples, in Mark 9:9, he told them this: "As they were coming down from the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead." After Jesus healed a deaf and mute man, he said this to those who were gathered around watching in Mark 7:36, part A. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. After healing a man with leprosy, he said this to the man in Mark 1:43 and 44, part A. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning: "See that you don't tell this to anyone." After healing two blind men in Matthew 9:30, Jesus said this: "And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, 'See that no one knows about this.'" In Luke 4:41, Jesus even makes the demons stay quiet. Luke 4:41a, "Demons also were coming out of many." So this is not a one-time event. Jesus is going around the region and he's casting demons out of people. "You are the Son of God." But rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak. So the demons are shouting out who this is, and Jesus is telling them to be quiet. As we close that verse, Luke tells us why Jesus silenced the demons. Luke 4:41b, "Because they knew him to be the Christ." We know who you are. You're the Son of God. Now you think this would be what Jesus wanted. Here even the demons that are being cast out of the people are testifying to who he is. But it wasn't Jesus' time yet. And so he won't let them speak. This goes back 3 years to what most consider the first miracle, Jesus turning water into wine at the wedding of Cana. His mom comes and says, "Hey, they don't have any, they've run out of wine, do whatever you think is right." And Jesus replied, "My time's not yet come." Now listen, Jesus had already started his ministry by that time, and we know that because Jesus and his 12 disciples were invited guests at this wedding. So this has been going on for some time that Jesus has been going walking around with these guys. So what Jesus was telling Mary was, "My time has not yet come. That time is the triumphal entry." Jesus was saying, "It's not my time yet." It wasn't his whole 3-year ministry that he was talking about. It was this last week of his life. But then, after trying so hard to keep his ministry secret, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And the word was out. Now somebody, Jesus has done something extraordinary. Somebody's come back to life here. And the word's getting around. This took place, by the way, right before Easter, and we're going to see how this all plays together. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and suddenly the crowds grew. His reputation was spreading quickly, rapidly. And then look at this curious verse in John 11:54. "Jesus, therefore, no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there to the region near the wilderness, to a town called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples." So once again, here's Jesus, and he's raised Lazarus from the dead, and his reputation is spreading. And thousands of people were coming to Jesus. And what's Jesus do? He goes away and hides. Because it wasn't his time. After raising Lazarus, his fame reached a fever pitch. And he could no longer walk openly among the crowds of people. He'd become famous for the wrong reasons. Picture Blake Shelton. Most of you guys know who Blake Shelton is. I know all you Northridge kids are into country music. So most of you know who Blake Shelton is, okay? So let's picture Blake Shelton coming to Columbus, and he decides to go walk around Easton one day. Blake wouldn't get two steps inside that door before hundreds of people would be thronging around him. Can we get a selfie with you? Hey, Blake, I love your music. I'm your biggest fan. And this would be what it would be like. He couldn't go to the AMC theaters and sit down and watch a movie. He couldn't go to Roosters and have a bite to eat. And this is what the point that Jesus reached. His reputation has grown so much, excuse me, everybody knows who he is, and he can no longer walk openly among the people. This is what's happened to Jesus. It's time for the Passover. Passover is a time when people came to Jerusalem to make sacrifices to the priest for the sins they'd committed the year before, and they're going to be cleansed for the next year because they've made sacrifices for these sins. And so the people come up to Jerusalem. Jesus' reputation's in full bloom. And the people, large crowds went up there, but they didn't go up to do what they were supposed to do. The crowds came to see if Jesus was going to keep the Old Testament law and bring a sacrifice himself, or what he was going to do. But that wasn't the only reason they wanted to see Jesus. John 12:9. When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. See, they came out for the wrong reason. They came out to see Jesus, but only so far as he was the one who performed this miracle. What they really wanted to see was this dead guy who came back to life. And so the crowds are gathering in Jerusalem at a time they should be making sacrifices for the sins, and they came to see a magic show, a trick pony act. You'll learn if you read John's gospel closely enough that these two events parallel each other. We do the Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead as one story, and we do Jesus' triumphal entry as another story. But they're not separate stories. They all fit together. They run parallel on the same tracks to each other. And they all fit together, and they all come together as Jesus enters into Jerusalem here. They still didn't get it. Jesus did not come to perform miracles. He came to be the final sacrifice. He came to be the atonement for our sins. See, a lot of people miss that, and a lot of people fall away from the Christian faith because they don't get that. But see, the people came to see his miracles and the result of his miracles, who was Lazarus. They didn't care about the one who performed the miracles. But nothing could deter Jesus from his ministry. And so on the 10th day of the month of Nisan, Palm Sunday we call it, Jesus is finally ready to launch his public ministry. Finally. 1 week from now, actually 4 days from now, he's going to be dead. But Jesus' whole earthly ministry was tied up in this last 4 days. He caught the attention of everyone in Judea, we call it Israel today. And he caught the attention of the Roman authorities. In John 12:12, we read this. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. He's had the Passover, he's had the Sabbath meal with them, and he's coming to Jerusalem. One story. And the people hear that Jesus and Lazarus are on their way to Jerusalem at the time of the Passover feast. Remember why they come to the feast, to see Lazarus. Not the reason they should have come. And then the verse that we all know. Zach, you put the slide up, please. John 12:13. The arrival at last. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Even the King of Israel. You have the slide? You can see him up here. It's a painting Barb got me. You can see up here the palm branches are waving, and the people are waving palm branches all through here. And you can see here they're laying the blankets and their coats on the road as Jesus rides into town. This is what's going on in this verse. And they're shouting, Hosanna! 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 The word Hosanna is used by a lot of people in the same way that we use the word Hallelujah. It was an interesting thing. I'm not putting down the church next door, but as I came in to church this morning, I noticed that the title of their sermon this week is Hallelujah. And a lot of people use Hallelujah and Hosanna interchangeably. They are not the same word, and they do not mean the same thing. The crowd does say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's a fulfillment of prophecy. They didn't have a whole lot of choice in that. Hosanna is a combination of two words, Pasha or Hasha, which means to deliver or to save, and Ana, or just An, A-N, which means beg or beseech. Hosanna then translates as either, I beg you to save, or please deliver us. Please deliver us. Please deliver us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Here comes Jesus to finally overthrow these Roman oppressors. Please save us from these people. That's what they're yelling at Jesus as he arrives into Jerusalem. The change of meaning, by the way, for the word Hosanna came from Webster's dictionary in 1828 when they incorrectly said that the word Hosanna means to praise God. It doesn't. It means to save us. Regardless, Jesus fulfilled several Old Testament prophecies here. One was that he would ride into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey. This is significant for a few reasons. When the Roman military would go out and they would win major battles, the commanding officer then, when they would come back to the commanding officer's hometown, the Roman Senate would set up parades, huge parades, and everybody would have to come out to these parades and meet the conquering heroes. And so the commanding officer of the unit that won this battle would come riding in the most impressive horse, the most impressive stallion that they could find. And he'd ride through the middle of the street, and they're all shouting his praises, and he's up there looking around, and he's the man. Riding on a donkey, however, is what servants did. Jesus said, if you want to be great, then make yourself a servant to everybody. Listen, Jesus wasn't there to overthrow Rome. He was there to die. And these people who are shouting Hosanna, in 4 days, are going to realize that all too well. Just 4 short days. According to the Gospel of Matthew, this is the first time that Jesus has come into his capital city, Jerusalem, because it wasn't his time yet. John 12, 17 and 18. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify of him. For this reason, also the people went out to meet him. Why? Because he was the Messiah? Did he come out to meet him because he was the Messiah? What's it say? Because they heard that he had performed this sign. See, nobody came out to see God. They came out to see Lazarus. They wanted to see Jesus only insofar as he performed this miracle, and here was this guy that was raised from the dead. They really came out to see Lazarus. The crowds were growing because word about Jesus' power is spreading. And quickly, the religious leaders grew concerned. Now, there's two reasons they became concerned. One was because they were jealous. Jesus is drawing all these people after him. But the second reason, and we don't give them credit for this, the second reason is they genuinely believed that this guy was overthrowing the Jewish religion. They thought he was teaching against the law. They were aided. Listen, Jesus didn't help his own cause with these people. He started telling the crowds they didn't like, things they didn't want to hear. Things like, if you want to live, then you have to die. You're going to have poor people with you always. This isn't the Messiah they were expecting. Jesus was still performing, by the way, untold numbers of miracles at this time. John 12, 37. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. Now note this. This verse comes after the triumphal entry. So for this last 4 days of Jesus' earthly ministry, his life on earth, Jesus is performing thousands of miracles in the midst of these people after he's ridden into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And the people still didn't believe in him. John 21, 25. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that not even the whole world would have enough room for the books that would be written. How many miracles did Jesus perform? All the books in the world couldn't contain them. But despite all these miracles, he was saying that almost everything that you guys accept as true is backwards in how to treat people. They weren't very fond of that. See, the law said, an eye for an eye. If somebody hurts you, then you pay him back. And not only that, you pay him back double. Jesus was saying, listen, if somebody hits you on the right cheek, turn the left cheek to them. They don't like hearing these things. And so the crowd quickly turns from shouting Jesus' praises to turning against Jesus. But even with that, some people did believe. John 12, 42. Many people did believe in him, however, including some of the Jewish leaders. But they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue. Now note this. This is the most important part of the Easter message. They wouldn't admit that they were followers of Jesus. See, they believed that Jesus was Jesus, but they wouldn't admit that. Why would anyone do that? Why would you be a follower of Jesus and want to keep that secret? Listen, they didn't do anything that we don't do. We do the same thing today. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. In other words, on Judgment Day, I don't know that person. Next verse, John 12, 43. For they loved human praise more than the praise of God. See, these people wanted to be like me. I want you guys to love me more than I want you guys to be saved. And that's where these guys were at. Every person was at that point. Yeah, I believe in Jesus, but listen, if it's going to cost me my relationship with you guys, then I don't want any part of that. They wanted the love and the praises of men more than they wanted to be saved. James 2:19. You believe there is one God? Good for you. Even the demons believe this and they tremble in terror. Listen, at least the demons have enough sense to be scared. We don't. I'm not putting anybody in the church down. I'm just saying we don't, as a populace, the 7 billion people on planet Earth. We don't. But look at this. James knew that believing in Jesus was not enough. Zach's going to put up here, it's going to say 2:10, but it's because I wrote it down wrong. It's actually 2:20. James 2:20. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Don't miss this. In one verse, James says, you believe in God, good for you. And in the very next verse, he says, but you're all a bunch of fools. You want Jesus on your terms. That's the Jesus that people want. James calls them fools. Because even though they claim Jesus, their lives reveal that they don't belong to Jesus. Oh, sorry. We can get Aaliyah up here to play. She's on her grandbaby. Jesus finally comes home to Jerusalem, his city, to pay the price for our sins. He came to show the correct attitude, which was love. And he came to show the difficulty, trials of this life, and hardships on every side. Anybody in here have no problems in their life? Anybody? Because I'll trade you. And he came to show the price to belong to God, death. The people came to see if Jesus would bring a sacrifice. He did. It was him. And they missed it. God was about to offer himself on the sacrificial altar. Not an altar made of gold and surrounded by pearls and rubies and onyx, but two rough pieces of a tree. It had to be a tree. It had to be that way. It was prophesied. Deuteronomy 21:23. You are not to leave his corpse on the tree overnight, but are to bury him that day. For anyone hung on a tree is under God's curse. Paul reiterated this in Galatians 3:13. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing, our curse. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. Finally, he came to show you this truth. Only through him do we get to heaven. Only through him. See, the people adored him at first. They loved him. This is where a lot of people fall away. They loved him until they realized that he didn't come to join their cause. He didn't come for that reason. He was there to be their sacrifice, not to solve their problems. Listen, Jesus is absolutely our ever-present help in time of trouble. We could call to him. He hears prayers, answers prayers, and performs miracles. But that is not why he came. Jesus did not come to earth to solve our earthly problems. It's not why he came. He came to die so that we could live. But the invitation is still the same. Hosanna! They got the word right. Save us! They just missed the method. Jesus is available to save you right here and right now. Not from earthly problems. That was never his agenda. Never. Hosanna! Save me now. That's what he came to do. That's why he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey's colt on Palm Sunday. He came to save us from the penalty of our sins. The triumphal entry is about to turn into the darkest day in all of history. The same people who sing his praises will soon call and scream and cry out for him to die. And in just 4 days, he will. I love you guys.